Hello, CFD, science and tech friends. Thank you for joining episode 3 of The Mesh Up. If you're joining us for the first time, I am your host, Tiffany Cook, PR professional and advocate for building great partnerships and educating the masses on complex topics. The theme of this segment is CFD, NASCAR, and the new normal for an operation that has to competitively perform week after week while the world watches from the stands and the comfort of their homes. So without further delay, I'd like to give a warm welcome to Roush Yates Engines, our guest for today, and a big shout out to any NASCAR fans that we have listening. So let's start with introductions. Give the listeners your name and a sentence or two about what you guys do there at Roush Yates Engines. Let's start with Doug.
Hi, Tiffany. I'm Doug Yates from Roush Yates Engines. I'm the CEO and partner of Jack Roush here. We build the Ford NASCAR engines that race in the Cup and Xfinity Series. Our first race was May 18th at Darlington, and we're starting to catch back up. But we build all the Ford engines, and we're glad to have glad to be on with you today. So thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Let's go with Jamie.
Hi, Tiffany. My name is Jamie McNaughton. I'm the technical director here at Roush Yates Engines, and I work for Doug and all of the engineering, design, development, and test staff all report to me under our engineering group.
Great. And last but not least, Todd.
Yes, my name is Todd Inglis, Vice President of Marketing and Strategic Partnerships. So from a marketing standpoint, we like to tell our story, and as Doug mentioned, the number of teams that we power throughout the year, and really leverage that for our particular fan base, and also work with our strategic partners to determine various types of content that we can share with them to help maybe potentially develop their brands, increase brand awareness, work on B2B connections, and also provide some trackside activities.
Great. Well, welcome again. And as I mentioned, we're going to kind of go over a few topics for those listeners that maybe know a little bit about CFD, but not much about NASCAR, and also those that know quite a bit about NASCAR, but not much about CFD and how you guys run your operation there. So, Todd, can you go ahead and start by giving the audience a little background on Roush Yates Engines and the role that you guys play in NASCAR?
Yeah, Tiffany, a little history. At the end of the 2003 NASCAR season, Jack Roush and Robert Yates decided to merge their engine operations together with the leadership of Ford Motor Company. At that time, they actually appointed Doug Yates the CEO back in 2003. The first race that we actually went to with as one company, Roush Yates Engines, was Daytona International Speedway in 2004, where we qualified first and second. So that was really strong right out of the gate. And also in 2004, we won the NASCAR Cup Championship with Kurt Busch and Roush Racing. So we really started off strong. Today, as Doug mentions, we actually design, develop, and build over 900 high-performance engines for today, three series, your NASCAR Cup Series, your NASCAR Xfinity Series, as well as your IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge. We operate out of two facilities here in Mooresville, North Carolina, with about 200 employees. Our main facility is our engine facility, where we design, develop, and build these particular engines. Our second facility is a AS9100 CNC Advanced Manufacturing Facility, where we actually machine and actually work and develop parts for various industries such as your defense, aerospace, medical, and automotive.
Okay, very interesting. Can you talk a little bit about what actually differentiates, and anyone can answer this question. I'd actually probably like to hear a little bit of each of your take on this subject, but what differentiates NASCAR from like the Formula One racing, which seems to be really popular in Europe?
Yeah, I guess I can start. You know, NASCAR and Formula One are very similar in the fact that they're very the highest forms of motorsports in their respective countries and continents. So here in the U.S., NASCAR is our most followed motorsports, and their stock cars, the racing is very close. But the activities on the engine and the car side are very technical. So we do share some similarities in that respect. Like I said, they're popular in their own own respect and own rights in their own countries, but a lot of the technology is very similar. And Jamie and I talked about that earlier. So Jamie, I'll let you expand on the technology aspect that's shared between F1 and NASCAR.
Sure. The technology side, and Doug really nailed it. It's the top level, if you will, of refinement of those engines for each one of their series. NASCAR has been around for a long time with this engine specification, and as a result, there's a lot of refinement that has taken place to it. And if you're going to design, develop, and optimize an engine, whether it's an F1 engine or a NASCAR engine, the technologies and processes that you use are very similar.
Yeah, and Tiffany, maybe from my side, I think, you know, looking at from a fan perspective, very competitive in nature, and both F1 and NASCAR want to put on a good show for the fans.
All right. That's what we like to hear, because, of course, that's what fans want. They want to be entertained. They want to see fast cars and cool drivers and all the sponsors and everything like that. So thank you for adding your piece to that as well. Now, Doug, I'd like to switch to you. So as the leader and face of the operation, can you speak to some of the different departments and assets required to build and run a business that has to strive for success every 6 to 7 days? Because you guys, I mean, as far as we see, every week, there's a race.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we run 38 races a year, and right now, going through the pandemic, we're trying to catch up those races. So we're going to run several races a week. We ran on Sunday, and we're going to run again on Wednesday, and then again on Sunday. So first of all, it's about the great people that we have. Like Todd said, we have 200 very talented employees. Here at the NASCAR Cup Shop, we have three departments to really keep us running and keep us competitive every single week. It starts with the department that Jamie leads and our development department. So we design, develop, and release those engines to the production department. The development department is also in charge of all the calibration, as well as the problem troubleshooting that happens during the weekends. And then we have the production department that assembles the engines. In total, we own about 250 engines to service 15 cup teams every single week. We build about 20 engines a week, which is a pretty heavy workload. And everybody in the race engine and the production department takes that engine from a sub-assembly to build it all the way up to assembly to testing it and then delivering it to our teams. Also, we need the parts to do that, and we need to make sure that the finances are running on time. So we have the operations department that makes sure that we have all of our inventory that we need to build those engines, as well as looking after the dollars. And then at our other facility that Todd mentioned earlier, we have 52 CNC machines that make about 40% of the parts that go in the engine. So we design, develop, manufacture, build those engines here in one facility, and then we also manufacture through our CNC capabilities a lot of the parts in the engine. So it's a lot to keep in place, but we have great people and a great organization. And we've refined that over the past 30 years that I've been doing this, and it keeps growing and getting better all the time, made possible through mainly the great people and the great partnerships that we have.
Thank you for that. And congratulations. 30 years is a long time to be in business. So Jamie, we hear Doug mention all these variables that need to blend week after week to compete and win races. Can you talk about the role of CFD and engine design and development for NASCAR, which seems to relate to the fastest turnaround in the automotive industry? Can you talk a little bit about CFD?
Sure, Tiffany, you're right. We have a very fast turnaround time between events, which also means we have very fast turnaround times and opportunities for engine development activity. So with events taking place almost every weekend, we have to be fast. And in order to do that, we have to have fast tools. Doug has built a really great engineering group at RYE, and using CFD here really consists of us designing parts using Converge with their time-saving auto meshing, adaptive mesh refinement capabilities to help simulate our flows through the engine in the areas of the gas exchange process, whether it be cylinder heads, ports, inlet manifolds, fuel injection, throttle bodies, induction systems, or even exhaust headers designs. We use CFD to analyze all of those parts and make them the best that they can be before we even cut our first part.
Wow.
Yeah, Tiffany, I want to add to that. I mean, you win with advantages, and for us, Converge is definitely a competitive advantage. So thank you guys, and we use the tools every day.
Thank you. And, you know, we're glad to be in partnership with you guys. Some of the staff that actually run Converge are on a one-on-one name basis with our support engineers, with myself. So, you know, we're really proud of the partnership as well. So Jamie, predictions and test runs really seem to be synonymous with the race world. Are there any capacities of simulation that apply to engine design or other design areas that are underutilized or maybe, could benefit from more research and development from CFD analysts for NASCAR to really reap those benefits?
Hi, yeah, good question, Tiffany. As Doug said, we win with advantages, and the faster that we can simulate possible design results in reduction of number of iterations that we have to test, and hopefully we'll make more power as well by doing that. Areas of opportunity that we use CFD for were some of the ones that I explained previously. A couple of the areas that are really the next steps are, and I won't say next steps, but refinement, are really the induction system development and making sure that is as good as it can be, and also what takes place inside the cylinder for combustion predictions and efficiency improvements of the engine. CFD does at that, and we're using it partially right now, but that would really be the next step for, I think, this industry to be able to design and develop and make things from the combustion side more efficient.
So that sounds like a challenge to the CFD software developers. So I will pass that on. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think Kelly will know.
Yeah.
We'll take that challenge.
All right. So game on. To build on that concept, where do you see CFD and NASCAR, or even just in your role, where do you see it 7 to 10 years down the road?
Well, in 7 to 10 years, we will continue to, you know, build and use our engineering capabilities and simulation tools to design, develop, and really refine our NASCAR powertrains, what we believe is to really a world-class level. In 7 to 10 years, NASCAR may have a new powertrain spec for manufacturers to design. And if that is the case, that is, as these tools have now become very well known and well refined, this will mean significant CFD and analytical modeling capabilities during the initial design phases of these engines. So as we do an engine design today from a clean sheet of paper, so much of that is done analytically first, and you can pretty much do an entire engine design on your computer before you have to make any parts at all. And if that was the case here in NASCAR for a new engine design change, we would be very heavily involved in that activity up front.
Thanks. Doug, I'd like for you to weigh in on that question. Where do you see NASCAR 7 to 10 years down the road?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think that NASCAR continues to evolve. We'll have a new car in 2022. It's a next-gen car that's more modern. The bodies will look more like street cars. It'll have 18-inch wheels on it. And a transaxle setup that will lend itself for hybridization down the road. So at some point, we'll have the current internal engine, internal combustion engine with electrification. So I think that, you know, that is changing. And then, as Jamie said, I think that, you know, I know that Ford is interested in more production-relevant powertrains and how do we take that to racing. So I think that those things will come down the road, and the more powerful tools and the more, you know, the robust engineering staff that we have, we feel like we're positioned well for what's to come in the future of NASCAR.
Todd, anything you'd like to add?
No, those guys did fantastic. I'll leave it there.
All right. So, Doug, NASCAR is actually one of the first sports to restart amid the COVID-19 pandemic and social distancing safety measures. From your perspective, can you give us some insight on what went into those decisions and what type of feedback you or your colleagues are receiving?
Yeah, NASCAR was, like you said, one of the first major sports to return May 18th at Darlington. It's something that a lot of thought and work went into. And it all started with the France family. You know, NASCAR is a family business. Jim France is a great leader. And his goal was to run all the races this year and to catch up those races and to make sure that we fulfill, you know, what our fans want to see, TV contracts and sponsors. And so Jim tasked his staff, his president, Steve Phelps, work with the everybody from the White House to the states, to the governments, to the local communities and racetracks, TV partners and Fox and NBC to try to come up with a schedule that would work for them. Keeping in mind, number one is safety. And then the VP of competition, Steve O'Donnell, worked with the teams, the OEMs in Ford, Chevrolet, and Toyota, the engine builders, to see if we could meet that schedule and reopen our shops, because a lot of the shops were closed. You know, it wasn't a fact that we could just, the racetrack was open. We had to restart the race shops. Everybody had to be able to get to the track and get there safely. But NASCAR hired a health official, an epidemiologist, if you will, and really put together a 20-page protocol that outlines everything we need to do safely to get back to racing, including, you know, pre-event screenings. When you get to the track, only a limited number of people could be at the track, social distancing, wearing masks, working with one of our partners, Clean Harbors and Safety Clean, to come in and disinfect the facilities before the race and after the race. And then it guideline and outlined everything from get the garage operations to Victory Lane and that celebration. And although we missed the fans being there at the racetrack, I'm glad that we can put on a show for them and bring some entertainment that this country really needs right now. And I think we witnessed 6.5 million people, 6.5 million people watch that Darlington race as we came back to racing and returned to racing. And we feel that NASCAR is going to be instrumental in opening up a lot of sports in the future. I mean, they've really set a high bar. And I know that Steve Phelps is working with the other sports leagues commissioners on how the experience that we have as a sport and how it will affect and those best practices that other sports can implement as they continue to open and get our country back going here soon.
Thank you. Thank you. And you're right. I mean, we're all kind of in a different normal right now, which is kind of why we titled part of this episode, The New Normal. But it's nice to see things that we enjoy return. Whether we're not able to purchase tickets and attend, it's still nice to see, you know, that kind of gives us a little bit of peace that, hey, you know, we're going to get back. Everything's going to be normal at some point. So thank you guys for taking the charge on that. I know there's a lot of people that are really appreciative of that and enjoying the races. Okay, Todd, building on what Doug just talked about with putting in a lot of safety measures for NASCAR races to resume, is there anything that you'd like to discuss pertaining to how you guys were able to help out and switch your operation from setting up to build engines to helping out in during the pandemic with some of the ventilators and PPE materials that you guys were able to make?
Yeah, back in March when NASCAR and COVID-19 really suspended our operation, As Doug mentioned before, we do have an 88,000 square foot CNC machining facility. In there, those 50 some CNC machines can machine components from various industries. And again, we mentioned it could be aerospace, it could be defense, it could be medical. So during that time, we actually started working with some local businesses to actually cut face shields. We did some aerosol cabinets, and we've actually worked with several companies to really optimize ventilator designs and also production of those components. So it was a great fit for us as a company because we're highly engaged into the manufacturing sector, and we were able to actually utilize some of the labor from our NASCAR business and move those talented employees over to really help out and support our great country.
Well, thank you. I'm sure, on behalf of our company, we appreciate everything you've done, not just for those on the front lines, but everyone. And it's great of you guys to be able to make that transition to help when it's needed. I want to dig a little deeper there, Todd. One of the things that I've really been able to appreciate and learn from you is your ability to leverage partnerships and kind of play that middleman role to establish connections between Roush Yates partners and supporters. And we have some listeners that are also in that role that may be having a bit of trouble maintaining or establishing those relationships with so much uncertainty. What advice can you give us? Because I'm in that role. So any tips would be helpful.
Well, I think it first starts with our company culture. Doug talks a lot about people. So I think every one of our 200 employees are obviously engaged and willing to support any initiative that we come or came out with or come up with. So from the very beginning, I think Doug has challenged us, and Doug mentioned the number of events we have throughout the year. We have 81 races that we'll race at in 2020. We're measured week in and week out. So I think for us, we also measure our partnerships, and we're measured by creativity, right? We're measured by innovation. We're measured by relationships. And we have to really stay in touch with our particular partners to identify what's truly the win-win for them. And obviously during, I won't say COVID-19, there's no playbook for success here. So I think we've tried a lot. We've done some different things. We started doing some virtual events maybe 10 weeks ago. So I think we continue to really push the boundaries, and Doug gives us the opportunity to try some things. And I want to say some things work and some things we think we might be able to do better next time. So I think it's just trying things these days and thinking outside the box how we can bring value to each partner. And each partner has different touch points, and we as a company have to understand those.
Doug, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, Tiffany, Todd said it well. I mean, there really is no playbook right now, and we're really judged on our energy and creativity and just being open to trying new things. And we've had a lot of success throughout this time of just connecting with people, staying open, telling our story, and touching base with them. So, you know, a lot of our lives have changed in a lot of ways, and it's been challenging, but it's also been an opportunity. And I think that we've done a really good job of staying active and creative. And our partner Ford Motor Company has challenged us through this time. Since we're not racing, they ask all the drivers and their ambassadors to create video content for 8 weeks. And it was a bit of a contest in some ways, but it was basically telling Ford's story. How Ford has converted their manufacturing plants into making ventilators and all protective equipment for our first responders and healthcare workers. And I think it was really fun. It was a time that I know personally I stretched myself making some videos but it was really well done. And then it all led up to really Bill Ford was on 60 Minutes and gave a plant tour and really spoke to all of the great things that Ford Motor Company has done for this country and all of our great people as we go through this crisis together. And we're really proud to be partnered with Ford Motor Company and you guys. And I think we've, Todd's group and everybody's done a great job of pulling together. One thing on the face shields, I mean, we made 10,000 face shields for a local charity, something I'm really proud of in a time of need. You know, they called us on Friday evening about 6 o'clock, said, "Hey, could you make these parts for us?" And we jumped into action, and everybody in the company was just proud to have a hand in that. So I'm really proud of Roush Yates and Ford Motor Company and all of our great partners, and the relationships we have through this time is what pulled us through this together. And we're looking forward to being stronger going forward.
Thank you. And we're actually proud to be in partnership with you guys. So thank you for all that you've done. And I definitely look forward to continuing the relationship. Before we close, I always like to end on a lighter note. So I've got two questions and you guys can choose. I want to hear from all three of y'all. Okay. You can choose which one you want to answer. So I'll give you two options. The first one, do you guys ever get to jump in one of those cars and take a few laps around the track? And if so, we got to know the top speed. What's your top speed?
Todd?
So maybe I'll start first. I think that's a great conversation. So, you know, Tiffany, we had a call yesterday talking about this particular podcast. And the first thing that I learned that Doug has been out to our local go-kart track. So, again, we are competitive on the track and off the track. So, again, me just finding out that Doug's been to our local go-kart motoplex facility, I've signed up for some time this week. So, again, maybe that's not driving 185 miles per hour, but I think everything that we do has a competitive nature. And, again, I've set my schedule this week to get back out to the racetrack. So, hopefully, I can eventually go out and beat Doug.
Well, Tiffany, I see how this is going to go here. So about passing the buck, but yeah, we would like to invite you to Mooresville to go to the GoPro Motorplex. It's a great time. There's carts. We can all get out there and have some fun. But Jamie probably is, you know, when I was younger, when we would go to test sessions, anybody could jump in the car and drive around the racetrack. So I got a chance to do that a little bit. I did race some go-karts growing up. But I learned early on that I needed to go to school and learn how to work on these. And so I did just that and went to NC State. I'm proud of that. But Jamie is probably probably owns the top speed record. He raced motorcycles growing up. And so maybe Jamie could tell us about it. He did bump his head one time, but he probably owns our top speed record.
Okay, Jamie.
Yeah, well, I'll start with fun side. We have had some company picnics at the Motorplex, and it's you talk about competition. It's one thing to work with some guys next to you, but holy cow, when you're out on the track there next to them, completely different people. So we've had a lot of fun at the Motorplex for a couple times that we've been there, and now that I know that Todd's going to get in there, I might have to practice up my skills a little bit too. Yeah. On the motorcycle side, I did come from a little bit of a motorcycle racing background, which was more kind of fun and engine related. I think it was more of automobile engines were a little too big and heavy to pick up and work on, and motorcycles were a little bit smaller and easier to do. So I did a lot of that when I was younger. So
are you going to tell us the top speed, Jamie?
Wow, that's... We've had some speeds of up over about 230 miles per hour on a motorcycle. So,
wow.
We have a winner.
That's fast. That's fast. And then final question, if the audience gets a chance to attend one race, what is the must-see track and why? Jamie, we'll start with you.
I grew up in Michigan. And I've always liked Michigan as a track. It's really big, it's really fast. And usually the cars that win there have really good engines, which makes it an important track for us to make sure that we do really well at. So I would say Michigan for me.
All right. Todd?
Yeah, when I think of tracks that are a must-see, I think of Michigan that Jamie mentioned. I think of Daytona. And I think of Talladega from a super speedway perspective. I think from a fan perspective, I think they're great. They're entertaining. They have a lot of activities in the infield, outside the track. So it's a great venue. From a road course perspective, Watkins Glen's another popular track, as well as Sonoma. So those are probably my fan favorites. But again, there's a lot of activities at all those tracks.
All right. And Doug, bring us home. Favorite track.
This one's easy for me. It's got to be Talladega. You know, okay. Talladega, Alabama, just south of Atlanta. Great track, great party atmosphere. It's like going to the Mardi Gras racetracks, and we've won a lot of races there. And had a lot of success, but it's a great time and a great place to people to go and to race and hang out with your friends and socialize. And so Talladega is it for me.
Thank you. Thank you. So listeners, you've heard it from one of the top engine design companies in the NASCAR industry. Those are the tracks you need to get out there and see. And when I am able to travel again, I will definitely take you guys up on that go-kart racing. I've come from a family of brothers, so I know about competition. Thank you for your time today. It has been a pleasure talking with you guys. Again, thank you for all your efforts with everything that's going on across the world. To our listeners, it only gets better. Thank you for listening. This podcast is sponsored by Convergent Science, and we hope you all stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tiffany.
Game on.